Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
And that's how you lose.
That is how you lose. What in the blue hell was that? Some will say Nebraska basketball. Some will say the beginning of the end. Others, well, just another hiccup in a memorable season. What say you? Welcome to Snowmageddon Tuesday on Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. Will Bauer is duct taped into the chair so he can learn Danny's magical ways of running the show and making me sound less awful. Can dial in, join us, 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Send us a tweet. Give us a follow at Schmidt underscore radio, at Danny Burke 5, at Hail Varsity. Can email Chris at HailVarsity.com. Mitch Sherman will talk some basketball and football in about 15 minutes. ESPN.com and magazine. Rick Pizzo was part of the Big Ten Network broadcast last night, pregame, halftime, and postgame. And Mr. Pizzo has a take or several on Nebraska basketball. Can't wait to get into it with him. What say you? Did you feel a little dicey about last night? Yes. You and I, Danny, felt dicey about last night. Stupidly, chicken bleep of me. I said Nebraska beat Rutgers. In my gut, I thought this thing was going to go sideways. Two times you go up by enough points to win a road game. You're up 13, you're up 8, and it doesn't hold water. You close on a 7-1 spurt to tie things with 2:02 left at 67 apiece. You can't hit free throws. You get dominated in the paint. You have some dude on one leg with a dislocated knee that comes out, Amarui, and does work on you. Here is what this team is. And they have shown it over and over and over again in road games. They are weak. They are weak in the paint. They are weak between the ears. That's all I got. And they have shown that enough times. Let's quit talking about an NCAA tournament win. Let's quit talking about an NCAA tournament appearance. The thrill is gone for this squad. They may still get in. They may still finish in the top six of the Big Ten. Your trust is now finally obliterated with this team. Okay? It was shaky a little bit with Maryland. It was shaky a little bit with Minnesota. You gutted one out against Penn State. Yeah, you were right there against Michigan State somehow, some way. But this was the tipping point. They can still come back from this, but gone is anything that's going to be easy. This team is going to make it hard. They're going to make it difficult, and they're going to make the utmost diehard Nebraska fan as exhausted as Nebraska's starters are right now till the end of the season to get into the NCAA tournament. You can't go back slap and DDT Indiana in the way you did. Come back and be there for Sparty within striking distance and then go pull this at Rutgers. Rutgers is young. Rutgers is not talented. Rutgers is offensively challenged. All Rutgers has is mental toughness and guts. And that was enough to get him a win in front of 3,000 Jersey Shore extras. If you're a Nebraska basketball fan, be angry. You can overreact and call for a change at the top. You can pile on the players. It's a chicken or egg discussion here with when we play the blame game and fault. Okay? I'm going to read you what happened at the 450 mark in the first half. You watched, or you listened to it. That's when Glenn took an early shot clock three, but at least there was three passes in the possession, and he drilled it. After slowly building and steadily building a lead that was at three and then at five and then at seven, it got all the way up to 13 with 4:50 left in the first half. The boxing equivalent is you had knocked them down and they stumbled a second time. You were there to stand over them for a 10 count. Granted, it was the first half. But then you did the same thing in the second half. After a brutal start, you build it back up to eight. But at 4:50, what happens? Glenn hits a three. Nebraska, on defense, Amarui and his one leg, gets an and one. Cope gets called for a foul because somebody blew an assignment defensively. I think that's maybe where Nebraska was in their 1-3-1. So 13 is now down to 10. Then you get a Watson turnover. Before that, you had a Roby turnover. And then you get layups, and you get a three. And then Nana comes in and says, I better get my shot in because I've been watching. And about 12 to 15 seconds into a possession, and I know it's about halfway home, but the guy is catch and shoot. I'm not blaming Nana. I like Nana. I love his energy. But he as soon as he gets in the game, bad things can happen offensively because he'll catch the ball and just shoot it immediately. And that continues this downward spiral. Nada misses a jumper on a quick shot. Palmer takes a quick three. Guess what? Rutgers rebounds, layup Mathis, and one. So 13 is now down with the and one to two. We're not done yet. Watson turnover. Dunk by Rutgers. Cope turnover. Mathis layup. And the 15-0 spot after you build a 13-0 lead is complete. Finally, after the 15-0 spot with the cherry on top with two and ones, a three, two dunks, and two layups, a timeout is called by your head coach to stop the momentum by Rutgers. So there's enough blame to pass out here, all right? It's New Year's Eve, and it's free champagne time of blame right now. So I don't have answers for you. I just have criticism because you have a senior-laden team with guys that have played a ton of basketball, and they continually take bad shots. They don't rebound. They get into foul trouble. And some of it is they're not hustle fouls. They're not over the back. They're reach-ins. They're plays made out of fatigue, frankly. And that's what this team is right now. The guy that's your barometer is JPJ. He is gassed. He has settled for shots. How many of his last few games? His efficiency's brutal. His decision-making's bad. And his defense is lapsing because he's gassed on offense. Okay? So there needs to be a talk with James Palmer Jr. Maybe you set a pitch count and just try and survive with him playing a certain amount of minutes. You need to shake your lineup up. You have five scoring options. Palmer doesn't have to get 25 a night. But he does have to play great defense for you. Cope needs to step up on offense. They did run some plays. He just didn't hit some of the shots. And he's trying to cover for Palmer on defense. And that's half of the four fouls that Cope picked up. He's trying to cover the paint. Roby's a mess. Roby's a flat-out mess defensively. He's been preached at, be aggressive, be aggressive. Well, be smart with your fouls. Thomas Allen was off. Glenn, four turnovers last night. I mean, it was just a flat-out debacle by Nebraska. And I don't know if they can get it back. They can still win. They can beat Ohio State Saturday. They can beat Wisconsin next Tuesday. But right now, you're like shaking as a Nebraska fan. And those of us that bought into the hype and the buildup of this team as being one of the best in Nebraska history because you see the obvious talent on the floor. It goes back to 7 years of roster construction and how you wanted to build your team. You recruited really talented guys that are fringe professional guys. That is going to get you a lot of wins. That's going to bring more guys into the fold that are at that level of play. And you have better players, you're going to win basketball games. But you have not ever restocked the cupboard to give these guys a rest. And they're cranking out 38 minutes a game. We're not into February. And this team is going to be a dead horse. They are gassed. Your best player is gassed. And there's no relief in sight because Amir isn't ready yet. Nana's not ready. They'll give you some minutes, but they're not giving you great minutes. And it's a vicious cycle that's not broken. And you've seen shot selection. Tim Miles talked about mindset. Well, we'll hear from Tim Miles here coming up in a minute. And now I don't want to say the finger pointing, but the deflecting has started a little bit, okay? He's talking about his team's actions in pregame. He did so in the postgame show with Pavelka and Mielheisen about how they were joking and they were talking and it kind of set the tone, implying that they weren't focused, right? Well, you've also heard him call them casual. Those guys are going to hear that, and they may or may not make a decision to give 1,000% effort. Why am I going to sell out for this guy? I have my own agenda and dreams, and I want to play pro ball, and I'm going to do it either with this guy or in spite of this guy. So, you know, you have a mess right now, and for those folks that have clamored for the extension to Tim Miles and let's take care of him and let's give him an extension. And this goes back to the summer. Not now. You're not hearing anyone scream that now. Good on Bill Moose for holding the purse strings closed. Because what is this team? This team is fool's gold right now. They're good enough on a given night to hang with somebody that's ranked, beat somebody that's ranked. They're also the same team that plays up or down to their level of competition. Their consistency's bad. They have no bench. And there's very little offensive creativity. And when they do run some set plays, the guys weren't executing last night. This is a can't-lose situation last night. And instead of being a 6, 7, or 8 seed, maybe you have fallen to a play-in. Maybe you're one of the last 4 in. Those lists will come out once we get deeper into February. But you have done a marvelous job of botching all the work as a team and program you built up with your non-conference. You're going to lose a game in the Big Ten on the road to somebody that's garbage. You're going to, because the league is that good top to bottom. But the point is you've let some quality wins, some quad one wins in Iowa and Maryland get away in Minnesota. So now you're up against it. You're 3-5 in conference, with two teams in Ohio State and Wisconsin that are desperate to undo some of their inconsistency. Nebraska basketball is just that. It's Nebraska basketball, where they will leave you heartbroken and wanting more and then surprise you just to get you back interested. It is going to be a roller coaster the rest of the year. And a lot of the things that are going on, like rebounding and points in the paint, and turnovers and shot selection. Guys got to be better. You're seniors. You played a lot of basketball. The other side of that, you're the head coach. It is a dictatorship. Coach, your job's not to screw them up or let any more grab ass go on when it comes to just stupid decision making. And that's the fault of leadership. That's the last point. Is leadership is non-existent on this team. Supposed to be a different basketball team from last year, leadership-wise, right? You've kind of learned the hard way. You got left out of the dance. You're hungry. You're ready to go. Well, fatigue is the culprit. Guys are gassed, okay? That comes down to not having anyone on the bench that's suitable or ready through your roster construction as head coach. So your job as head coach now is to get these guys to either mind you or sit them. But the problem is, who are you going to bring in? You got to go win games now. There's no consequence. That was embarrassing for Nebraska basketball last night, to be outplayed and out-toughed by a team that sometimes resembles a squad that plays basketball. Love their coach, love their effort, love their heart, love their toughness with Rutgers, but they aren't anything to write home about as a basketball squad in front of 3,000 people. Nebraska's lost 4 of 6. It may get worse before it gets better. Danny, I texted you at halftime. I know JPJ launched that three at halftime to give Nebraska a five-point lead after relinquishing a 13-point lead. And while you can't repeat my text messages to you on air, I pray that you don't, I knew it was going to go sideways. They just didn't have that finishing form in them last night. They got to decide what they want to be, and it might be too late.
Yeah, I mean, we both said this last night, too. We thought they would win, but we knew they were going to make it difficult. And who thought that they would go out to two huge leads and blow it? I mean, this team is just such a tease, man.
You know what?
They have all the potential in the world.
They've done it before. They've done it against better
squads. Same old song and dance with the Nebraska basketball team giving a big lead away on the road. It's unbelievable. I mean, what the heck has been going on? Ever since I've been here, this team has not been able to hit free throws. That drives
me
absolutely insane.
You know why? Because your legs are shot.
Yeah. I mean, and then Roby, 6 points. You can't have that on the rope. That's just inexcusable. And they got out-rebounded on the offensive side, 14-9 and 44-34 overall. Just 55% from the line. Like, it's a free throw.
10-18.
It's a charity strike.
10-18.
Unbelievable.
You have good kids and good talent and poor leadership and inconsistency. And yet guys aren't very mentally tough right now. Mitch Sherman's coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Be safe out there along the interstate, and if you're in Lincoln or where you can hear us, it is awful outside. We say hi to Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Mitch, have you had to scrape your windshield multiple times today or just once?
I've yet to have to do it. I've been in the garage. My car is outside right now, but I'm looking out the window, and in southwest Omaha, we're getting some flurries is what my meteorological eye would describe it as. Not too bad. Not too bad. I may have to scrape when I get outside.
There we go. There's the weather report from Mitch Sherman. Mitch, Nebraska basketball last night, one of those can't-lose ball games because of who it is and what their record is, and right now, what's the sense of panic you're feeling or hearing from Nebraska basketball fans? And just overall, you cover a lot of Nebraska basketball, but you've also seen the NCAA tournament squads in your career. And is Nebraska in danger at this point of missing the tournament? Are they bubble-bound at this point after a loss like last night? Where do you kind of assess their place in the NCAA right now?
It just seems to be the inevitable destination for Nebraska basketball teams that are at the top edge of what this program can produce, is to be bubble bound. And I hoped and expected early in the season, and then again after the win over Indiana, that this was going to be a team that would have the ability to rise above that. But that's not what we've seen the last two times out. And I don't want to be too harsh on them for losing at home to Michigan State by 6 points. That's obviously a Final Four worthy contender, the Spartans are. But, you know, it was disappointing for Nebraska not to get what I would say is the best play from its top group in that game. And I know James Palmer ended up with 24 points in that game, but he was MIA for a lot of it, and I think that cost Nebraska. And I know that's critical, but he's the guy that they need to depend on in games like that, and it didn't work out. And I think it hurt Nebraska in a way where that was one chance for that team to rise above the talk of living on the bubble. And then last night was an opportunity lost in a different way, because that was the kind of loss that'll take you off the bubble in the wrong direction. So, you know, it's too early still in January to say where this team sits as of today. And if you do want to say that, it's not really relevant to the conversation that you're going to have in March. There's a lot of basketball to be played, and there's a lot of opportunities for this team to go and improve its standing, but they're headed in a bad direction right now.
Why do you think Palmer's struggling? I mean, I think he's gassed. I mean, he's playing so many minutes, and he's putting a ton of energy into it. That's my take. Do you have a response to that? Why do you think he's been so off for him anyway the last few games?
Yeah, I thought seeing it through the wrong lens last night. I was going to say I thought there were times where he looked like he was on his game. But that was mainly when they were on a spurt in the first half, and then I'm probably putting too much emphasis on the 35-footer that he hit at the buzzer. Mm-hmm. He looked good then,
yeah.
But yeah, I mean, for long stretches and for 40 minutes of basketball, I don't think he's been his best for a while now, for most of the time that Nebraska's been in the Big Ten. And yeah, I mean, your explanation is probably as good as any, that he's playing too many minutes. I thought what it looked like to me in the Michigan State game is that the way that James Palmer plays, because of his length and just like the fluidity in his game, that he's able to do a lot of things against a certain kind of athlete in college basketball. And most teams are filled up with those kind of athletes or below the kind of athletes that he's able to thrive against. And the Spartans came in, and they had athletically the players who could match his level, and he had to take it up a notch. And when he did that, it got him out of his mindset. It got him in the wrong frame of mind, to the point absolutely where he was pressing. I mean, he ended up 6 of 21, and you know, for most of that game, he just couldn't hit anything. When I saw the box score at the end of it and saw that he had 24 points, it was shocking. It was just the quietest, least effective 24 points that you're ever going to see in a game like that. So. The strange thing is he's seen those teams before. You know, he's been through the Big Ten, so he knows, you know, what you're up against when you play Michigan State or Michigan or, you know, a team like Maryland when they're on their game or Ohio State. So, it's not entirely just a different level of athlete that he's unequipped to play against, because he's thrived in that situation. I do think it is a little bit of fatigue, and I even wondered on Thursday last week if he was healthy, but there hasn't been any information that's come out of PBA about him being sick or hurt.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Sail Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter's where you follow him. You read him ESPN.com. Mitch, there's other scores on this team. That's the thing that is also frustrating. Cope's usually pretty efficient. He was good last night. I mean, he got him going in that first half. You just can't count on Roby right now because of his foul trouble. Glenn has his moments offensively, and then Thomas Allen's been nice, but he had a tough one last night. There's four other starters that can get you double digits, where James doesn't have to go for 20 every night, and he can kind of zero in defensively and then maybe create for others the last few games. I think he's done a nice job of that, especially with Indiana. Almost a triple-double. So there's different ways for him to help the team win. I want to talk leadership for a second. And this team is supposed to be different. That was kind of the narrative 2 weeks ago, that it's a different squad. Then they go out and beat Indiana. They kind of have that bounce back, and they looked as good as they've looked since Creighton in that game. But then they hit a lull when it comes to shot selection, turnovers, the term mindset and being too casual has been used by Tim Miles. If you don't have an alpha dog on that team that is going to check everybody else, don't you as a coach have to be that guy that is on his team to make the right plays, make the right decisions?
Yeah, I think you do, and I think that Tim, you know, is trying to do that in the way that works with this group. I think there's I think there's a mentality, or there's a tendency, especially around here where we're so accustomed to watching the way football seasons play out, to look at a basketball season and analyze it through the same scope that we do a football season. Where if a team goes through a bad patch and has a bad loss, that it's you're quick to jump. Not you, but I mean, people are quick to jump on the jump into the camp that it's falling apart and they're not going to be able to get it back together. And a basketball season has a lot different flow to it than a football season does. So, I will withhold my judgment too much on this team and where its long-term track is. I mean, we know right now the short-term track is not good. They haven't had a good last 5 days. But the long-term track, I think there is definitely an opportunity here if you're Tim Miles and you can find a way to get some minutes out of guys and a little bit of production out of guys off your bench. And we've seen some flashes of that. I thought for moments, Amir Harris has looked good in these last couple of games, and Borchardt, the same thing. I mean, he's limited for sure in what he can do on the offensive side, but he can give you minutes, and he can help keep Roby out of foul trouble. So if they can correct some things in that area and make it so James Palmer doesn't have to play 38 to 40 minutes a game, and you get him in the right mindset where he is facilitating for other guys. It's not like this is a lost season. This isn't like a football season where you've lost two games in a row and you know, missed a golden opportunity and then just fell on your face the next time out. I mean, that'll ruin a football season, but it doesn't in basketball. And Nebraska still has a lot in front of it this year. But yeah, they've got to get some things corrected, and they've got to do it in a hurry, as they have Wisconsin and Ohio State coming into Lincoln.
Mitch, want to switch gears to football and get your reaction. I don't know that we talked since Dedrick Mills and Noah Pola-Gates came into the fold. Probably four spots left for Nebraska for 19. Maybe Cager from Miami or Njoku, the other wideout. I mean, those are two targets. But how do you feel right now about Nebraska, what they've been able to shore up, what Coach Frost and company have done as they get towards second signing day here in February?
Well, I think it's pretty clear they've got a good class. Of the targets remaining, and, you know, and I'm not going to profess to be an expert on the measurables and all of the tools that the prospects left on the board for Nebraska have, but I do know they need some size at wide receiver, and I do know they're probably still looking for a guy who can rush the passer. So if you can accomplish those things between now and the first Wednesday in February, and, you know, end up with 30 newcomers, I think they've done about all they can do. You're not going to hit on every prospect, but Mills is the guy that is going to give them something, a running back that they were looking for. Obviously, they lost a huge contributor in Divine Azigbo, who seems to be racing his way toward being an overachiever in this NFL draft class. So, that's a priority, and they seem to have filled it. The announcement the other night from Pola-Gates was, you know, something that they likely knew about, or it seems they definitely knew about, but it was good for the fans to see that, and it's good for Nebraska on a national stage to beat out the teams that it did to get him, you know, a hometown team, some heavyweights in the Pac-12. So I think they're doing what they want to do. You know, if you looked at this class, if you laid out the results that they've got so far in this class, with a few days left before it has to all be in the barn, I think Scott Frost and his staff would have been really happy back in August or September with where they're at right now on January 21st.
Okay, you have two of the more popular Huskers in the last 10 to 12 years. Going to meet Super Bowl Sunday with Sue and Rexy. Rexy plays for New England. That's not his fault. I mean, right? I mean, because you've got this anti-Patriot fervor out there, and then the Rams, most of the country, especially down in the Bayou, are not Rams fans, but Sue has been incredible in the postseason, and he's had his moments during the year, and you have, of course, Zach Taylor with the Rams. Who do you think's the more popular Husker, Sue or Rex? Ooh.
Man, if you put anybody else up against one of those guys, you're going to say the answer is going to be Sue or Rex.
Mm-hmm.
And I will debate you on whether it is Rex's fault that he plays for the Patriots.
Well, it is. Signing bonus.
Yeah, right. It's his fault. You know, he had options, and he chose to go to that evil empire. So, you know, let's not let him off the hook entirely, but great. I'm so happy for him to get to go to another, you know, back-to-back Super Bowls. I mean, I have the same kind of feelings that I think most people do, especially in this part of the country, about the Patriots as they went up against the Chiefs. I'm not a Chiefs fan in the same way that I am a Royals fan, but was definitely rooting for them on Sunday. But to see Burkhead put that thing away in overtime, you know, it was bittersweet. I wanted to see Mahomes get the ball, but if anybody was going to do it, any one player in the league, you know, I'd want to see Rex Burkhead in that spot. I just can't say enough great things about what he's meant to Nebraska and beyond Nebraska over the last 10 years. I can't believe it's been 10 years since Rex Burkhead signed a letter of intent out of Plano, Texas with Nebraska. And, you know, people said back then in 2009 that you doubt this guy and you're going to be watching him play in the Super Bowl. I mean, almost those exact words I had people tell me in North Texas 10 years ago, and here he is going for a Super Bowl championship for the second straight year. So, having an opportunity to play in a Super Bowl for the second straight year, I should say. But yeah, they're two of the of the absolute most popular guys to wear Nebraska uniforms in a long, long time. You know, you could say maybe 1 and 2 or 2 and 3 on the ledger since a certain number 7 quarterback mm-hmm. who now walks the sidelines left the program in 1998. So good for those guys, and it makes it a little fun for Nebraska also with Zach Taylor there ready to seemingly take over the Cincinnati Bengals after the game next Sunday.
Mitch, we'll do this again, bud. Thanks for catching up.
Yeah, absolutely. Good to talk to you. Enjoy the weather.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
That was awesome from Mitch Sherman. And you've got time to decide, but are you Team Sue or Team Rex? We'll get into it next week during the Super Bowl buildup. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, and it is Will Bauer, also in the studio. Big thanks to Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. We're 25 minutes away from Rick Pizzo. You can still chime in your reaction to Nebraska basketball's loss last night. Did that one send you over the cliff? Mitch was pretty big picture that there's still more opportunity for Nebraska basketball. And there is. Just the way they've been going, though, is a little rough. And it's easy to lapse in basketball faith right now with Nebraska. And I don't know that they'll pull out of this tailspin from a consistency standpoint. You're still going to have a loss or two for sure, dogfights on the road, right? Illinois is bad. Rutgers is bad. You still got to go to Penn State. They're winless. And you're not getting coaching, you're not getting upperclassmen decision making. And Danny, we're going to let John on the horn. I think John may just finish snowblowing his driveway. John loves him some Husker basketball. We'll take a shot. John, welcome in. How are you?
Pretty good. I was going to go out today earlier, and myself and my wife was going to go someplace, and we decided after cleaning both cars out that it's going to be too bad, so we ate chili inside.
That's the way to do it.
I agree with what you had to say earlier today about the team. I've been a fan for 72 years, so I've, you know, listened to it, saw it at the stadium, watched it on TV, the radio. But the thing is, we have a lot of people that are talking heads like yourself in newspaper, radio, television, magazines. And I just think that the guy on the street, the guy in the coffee shop, is pretty frustrated right now. We want Nebraska to finish out strong, but we just think the match that is steering the steering wheel down there on the court, maybe it's time that he needs to go elsewhere. That's just the sentiment that I'm hearing from a lot of people, and it's been before the season even started.
Right, and John, you've always been a guy that has been, I'm going to call you anti-Miles, and you've been listening to the show for years, and you've been critical of Miles, and it's real easy after a Rutgers loss to go firing squad. They can still pull themselves up. He's been the guy, whether you like him or not, that's brought in fringe NBA talent. He has got the recruits in here. He now needs to coach them up to their potential, and that's what he's being asked to do. He's been asked to do that the last 3 years with kind of prove-it seasons, right? Before,
and with
Eichhorst, and now with the Moose. And the Moose ain't going to hand a blank check to the guy. He's going to have to earn it. And even then, do you trust it?
Can I make a statement? I look back to Danny Nee, and he was a great recruiter, but he was not that good a coach, and he had great teams. I remember going back, watching his team play down in Kansas City.
I was there, too.
And beat Oklahoma State, and I can't – big country. I think if you keep – 10 Miles here, then you need to get better assistant coaches.
Well,
you know, I think you think he can recruit. There's no question about that. But can he take and figure on the fly what to do with what he has? I don't know.
Well,
but it's just
John. Appreciate the phone call, John. Listen, I think Michael Lewis is a good assistant. He's got a new assistant that came from Florida, former Northwestern coach. This is his first year here. You got Molinari as your defensive specialist. Nebraska's defense has been good enough to win a lot of basketball games. They weren't last night, and they haven't been on the road a couple of times this year. But for the most part, it's been their identity. So and Craig Smith, I love. I think he's phenomenal. So, I mean, it's your head coach that has got to be the leader and get these guys to play better. Or if you don't want to be the bad cop, have one of your assistants be a bad cop. You can have different personalities on the staff, but the point has to get through. And you're the one that's putting the roster together. And right now, how good, God, this is going to be armchair quarterback session 400. But right now, and this doesn't do anything for Palmer, because who's going to come in and spell Palmer right now? You don't have that guard at that level. But you don't have a spark guy off the bench to come in and get you points like Strickland as a freshman. If you had Morrow and Jacobson and Jordy, guys that took off, and you have Cope and Roby, I mean, then you're bulletproof with minutes. Then you can put guys out there, and they're not playing 38 a game. But you don't have that because they didn't stay. Let's go to the wonderful state of New Jersey. Nebraska is back from Jersey. But I got to get Danny Burke's take on this at Danny Burke 5. New Jersey Sportsbook has refunded New Orleans Saints bets over the uncalled penalty. Danny, you're a guy who likes to dabble. What's your take on this? The points bet is refunding the spread and money line bets on all Saints bets that lost the game after the officials failed to call a penalty on the Rams. This is unheard of. This is a brilliant business move to keep people coming back for more to pay that vig and lose their ass. But a little bit of charity here. Let me ask you this. Like, say you and I made a steak and a beer bet, and I had the Rams and you had the Saints. Would you expect me to forgive you that beer and that steak bet because the Rams got a break?
You personally, no, I wouldn't expect it. But no, I love this move. It's a great PR move, great marketing
move. Are you going to start sending your business to PointsBet?
You might have to. I mean, if you're around the area, how could you not when you know they're going to do stuff like that? I think it was like a FanDuel Sportsbook did a similar thing with when Cody Parkey missed. If you had like $100 or a certain amount on the Bears, they gave you a bad beat credit and refunded a certain amount. And also with the College Football National Championship, some other weird thing happened with the book where they claimed Alabama as the national champions for some reason prematurely. So everyone who bet Alabama got their money back from that certain book too. Like,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know why they already had them as a banner. Like, Darren Revelle tweets out a bunch of that stuff, and he tweeted about it and had more info on it. But if you want to, like, go look more into it, that's where you'd find it. But a lot of these books are doing it out there in New Jersey, and I guess that's how you're going to compete with, you know, sports gambling becoming legalized across the country. So I love it.
You love it. Would you do it, though? Would you send a refund out there to New Orleans fans?
Me personally, no.
I wouldn't do it either. That's kind of it's the ultimate. Here, let me say this, right? I mean, you had two awful play calls earlier by the Saints. You didn't burn 40 seconds and then kick the field goal like you could have. And Greg the Leg still drilled the game tire and the game winner. Then you couldn't block Sue all day. We'll wind down hour one. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Wind down hour one. Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Danny Burke, Will Bauer. You missed Mitch Sherman. You want to catch that? Can log on to ESPN Lincoln's Twitter handle. The full interview up on Futuri. Good minutes with Mitch. And we'll have some of his best audio out there for you. Rick Pizzo was part of the BTN broadcast last night that had Nebraska and Rutgers. What's Mr. Rick say? about Nebraska. And listen, man, the feedback on social media and on different outlets of, be it Facebook, Twitter, people are just, I mean, it's a crucifixion today. And every time Nebraska loses, it's the crucifixion of Coach Miles. And now the narrative's James Palmer. And Palmer is conflicted right now because he is so, and I've said it 1,000 times this hour, but it is true. That horse needs some water, man. He is just running on fumes. And you see how game-changing he can be, right? You've had a year of Big Ten teams adjusting to him. They're playing him differently. They're slowing him down. He's still getting his points, but it's not effective nor efficient. So there needs to be some sort of response and counter from your head coach via lineup, via minutes. Get James Palmer in a way to be efficient. Get him his legs back. I mean, this thing could get super ugly with the Nebraska basketball team if they keep doing what they're doing, if they don't change something up. And I'm not just talking about wins and losses. I'm talking about minutes. Say they pull off 2 in a row here. They very well could bounce back and beat Ohio State, and they could get Wisconsin at home. You know, they're a different team in Lincoln. Then you got Illinois and Penn State looming. Those should be wins. Nothing is guaranteed. That was evident last night. Iowa looms. Michigan looms. Sparty looms. I mean, February is going to be a son of a bee, is what I'm getting at. The good thing you have right now, you don't play again till Saturday. So you have today through Friday off from any games. You're still practicing. But give these guys a chance to get some of their legs back. Sit down with Roby. Be aggressive, but be smart with your fouls. Where are you at with him? Is he a guy that right now, man, he's just complimentary. He had a little bit of a spurt there where he turned it on and was really talented and good. He's still really talented, okay? But he's a guy right now that you just can't trust.
I just don't think he's basketball smart. Like, just when it comes down to it, he doesn't know what's right and wrong on the court.
He's trying too hard.
He has all the talent of the world, and that's why he has the most potential to all these NBA scouts, but he just doesn't know basketball smarts, when to stand his feet, when to take it to the hole, when to pass it, when to go.
He gets too excited.
Yeah, that's it. It's kind of just like a little puppy dog running around. I mean, that's what he is, but, you know.
You need to coach him to be better.
Exactly. That's 100%. Tim Miles is a lot to blame on that situation, too. You're on a gold mine right here, and you're not developing that gold mine in the right way.
Your job is to not screw it up.
Exactly.
Right? That's part of your job. His coach is to not screw it up. Let's take caller 8 right now. The Russ's Wine and Food Experience, February 22nd, 5 to 8 at the Embassy Convention Center. Food and wine, wine and food. It is freaking awesome. Going to be fantastic. I got a pair of tickets for you. You know what? Caller 8 now. Enjoy some food and wine on us. February 22nd, caller 800-825-5865 or 466-3776.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back to it, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big Ten buffet time. He did an awesome job, as always, covering Big Ten basketball last night. Rick Pizzo is with us at BTN. Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Rick, a late one. Nebraska was in Piscataway. A 13-point lead evaporated. Rutgers goes on to win 76-69. What happened? The blowback has been very toxic here in Nebraska ball land.
Yeah, and I have to be honest with you, Chris. I understand that. I just don't think that this is a game where you can have that kind of lead against a team that is playing with its best player severely limited, returning from a dislocated kneecap after three games. You cannot have that lead and let that lead go away, especially when this is not the first time that something very similar happened. I mean, the loss to Maryland was a chance to pick up a road win, and the team wilted down the stretch. The team missed field free throws. The team did not play the 1-3-1 well. They went to that 1-3-1 again late last night, and Rutgers just carved it up. They kept going over the top. He had no backside help defensively. And, you know, Tim Miles in his postgame press conference, which we aired on BTN, was really honest. He said a lot of this is preparation and mental issues because he thinks it's preparation and mental that they're missing free throws, preparation and mental that they're not going to the right spots on that 1-3-1. And my partner, John Crispin, made the interesting point that perhaps that's because there's no true leader on the floor. There's a shot maker in James Palmer. Glenn Watson can be that guy sometimes. But my response then is, you know the roster you have. If you are Miles and the staff, you then have to take over that responsibility. And I think this is as disappointing a loss for this team as I've seen any I can really remember in the last couple of years.
You know, Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska basketball. And you've got this monster pendulum swing every time Nebraska does well and every time Nebraska falls short. You had outrage, right? After you lost to Maryland, you were up and didn't close that. Minnesota, Texas Tech, you were up 13-4. Yep. I mean, this team's had good starts, and they found a way to close the first half with Palmer hitting the runner from three-quarters court. I mean, he drilled that. So Nebraska has enough talent to be an upper echelon team. That's the expectation. They just fell short. They're supposed to be a hungry team. They're supposed to be an experienced and upper-class team. You got a group of transfers aside from Glenn Watson here, right? And you're still waiting on Roby to show some consistency. I think the biggest question mark you can have with Nebraska is the way they've gotten the transfer market. That's where Nebraska's hung their hat. Can you ever have a foundation, a culture of leadership when you're constantly bringing in hired guns? And I mean that in all due respect, because your lineup and roster is always changing, and that's how college basketball is. It is, there's a ton of turnover for it. I get it. But the way Nebraska's chosen to go under Miles is to go get the transfer student. You can hit or miss, and right now, from a leadership standpoint, it looks like they've missed.
Yeah, you know what, Chris? That's a really good point. Though there are a lot of teams out there that have made runs with transfer guys, and if this were year one with James Palmer and Isaac Copeland, I could buy into that. These guys have been around the program now. I mean, this is part of why we believe that Nebraska was a dark horse championship contender. Those guys are not markedly more talented this year than they were last year, but there's another year in the system. There's supposed to be another year of familiarity. There's supposed to be another year of chemistry with the coaching staff. And you may not be able to build it over the course of 10 or 15 years like, say, Wisconsin has right. built an identity because they have run the same stuff, whether it was with Bo Ryan or Greg Gard, they were recruiting the same guys, you know, minus the NBA talent that they had for those couple of years where they made Final Four runs. But I just don't think that's a fair excuse anymore. I would listen to that last year. I'm not sure that is a good enough reason to see what we've seen this year after the amount of time and the number of games that the starters on this team have played together.
Okay, from a leadership standpoint, if you've got a bunch of quiet guys that kind of do you, played together, they know the strengths, they know their weaknesses, as head coach, don't you then have to lead? If you don't have a clear-cut leader, don't you have to be the leader?
Yeah, not only that, Chris, but I think maybe, and I'm not sure if this goes against him's personality, maybe you have to send a message. I mean, you've seen the same five guys starting, and you've seen the same five guys playing, what, 38, 39 minutes each per game. Last night, the bench points were 31-6 in favor of Rutgers. You are not going to go on the road, give up 31 bench points. I don't care how many wins that team has. You're going to lose that game if you come up with six. So is it time for Tim to send a message to somebody and put him on the bench and say, you're going to be my energy guy coming off the bench? You know, I'm not a smart enough X's and O's guy to tell you who that should be. But every now and then when things are going wrong, the one thing you have to do is avoid the status quo. It doesn't mean change who you are. It doesn't mean change who you believe in. But maybe somebody needs to get a message and somebody needs to get woken up. Tom Izzo does it all the time. Now, to be fair, Tom Izzo has a ton more depth and can afford to do it. But I think that sometimes you steal from other coaches in smaller amounts. And I think maybe Nebraska is either approaching or at that point where a message needs to be sent to some guys who simply expect to play 36, 37 minutes a game.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska and Rutgers, the debacle in Piscataway. Nebraska was up 13 points. It's been odd with this team where it's not like it's been always, they turn it into an uphill climb, but they start out on pretty solid ground. They get into a flow, they get into a rhythm. They had great ball movement at times last night and took some in-rhythm shots. They didn't finish again at the rim, which was an issue, but their emphasis was at least pretty true to start out, and they built a 13-point lead. You're up 31-18. You get a three, an in-rhythm three by Glenn. It wasn't a 2 seconds into the shot clock three from Glenn, and you're all right. You make a substitute, and I know Nana's young, but he comes in, and the ball must have been hot because he caught and shot, and then eventually you start throwing the ball away, and Rutgers goes on a spurt. And at what point have you seen this movie too many times, if you're Tim Miles? Yep. Because it's happened every road game you've been on where you've been up double digits or close to on some pretty good opponents. Rutgers 1-5 in the league till 1-6 in the league till last night. They were ready to get knocked out, and it didn't happen because you let it happen when it came to your shot selection and your team's offense.
And you let it happen over and over again on the road. The Indiana game, I really thought, was such a monster step in the right direction, Chris. The way that Nebraska won that game, limiting a really talented IU team to, 51 points at home, I thought to myself, okay, this is it, right? They have it figured out. This is what Tim Miles has needed all along, to have a team that can win a dirty game against a quality opponent on the road. And now there's nothing wrong after that with coming home and losing to Michigan State. I didn't love some of the shots, obviously, that Palmer took in that game. But that made this Rutgers game such a marquee must-win matchup for Nebraska that to build that lead and to lose all kind of intensity at the end of the half, if there is a time in the game where you need to either extend a lead and step on a throat or make the push, it's late first half, early second half. And again, I know this is an unfair comparison, but if you watch the Michigan State-Maryland game last night, Michigan State ends the first half on an 11-0 run. They start the second half by making 7 of 8. The game is over. Nebraska has that lead. If they're up 13, even if they play status quo in the last 4 minutes of that half and you go in with a double-digit lead, Rutgers does not feel anywhere near the same way. But you took your foot off the gas. You started getting lackadaisical. You took bad shots, which led to runouts. So Rutgers gets right back in the game. And anyone who has played sports knows it is a game of runs and momentum. Nebraska gave up runs of 15-0, 8-0, and 7-0 last night. Now, I take nothing away from Rutgers because they play hard. I love what Steve Pikel is doing. That team is not talented enough to combine to go on 30-0 runs over three different spurts against Nebraska. They're just not. To me, there is simply no excuse for that because that shows me that at points, the team gave up defensively, which you cannot do in the Big Ten.
Rick, from a mental toughness standpoint, you can't all of a sudden become mentally tough. Nebraska's had had enough trials here to kind of develop a callus, I would think, on the road because you've had some failures on the road, but you're supposed to learn and get better, right? I mean, that's you have a gap with certain teams when it comes to physical and mental toughness. And Nebraska, from a matchup standpoint, I don't think half the league is very scared of Nebraska in the paint, first of all. And I think if push comes to shove, you ask a coach or an assistant on another team, there's probably a rep out there that Nebraska may crack between the ears as well as being maybe not as strong down in the paint.
Yep, I think that's absolutely fair, and I think they realized that last night at Rutgers. Steve Pikel and company, even though they are a guard-based team with Geo Baker, now with Montez Mathis playing a ton of minutes with Omar Ruiz's injury, what did they do last night? Miles Johnson, unless you follow Rutgers basketball, how many people knew who Miles Johnson was before last night outside of Lincoln? And he goes for, 13-11, I believe, and was dominant in the second half, and it was seemingly the same play over and over again. Drive to the top of the key, force the defense out a little bit, throw over the top, basket, or even worse, miss, rebound, second chance points. You can't give up 42 points in the paint. That was the number last night. 42 points in the paint. I mean, teams like Michigan State and Wisconsin historically, and Ohio State when they had the bigs, they were in the low 40s, the mid-40s. For Rutgers to score 42 in the paint, that means that Nebraska would have to shoot something like, you know, 60% from the field to knock down 50% of their threes. And when you're shooting out of the rhythm, that's just not going to happen. Now, all that being said, Chris, I think that Rutgers is a team that is much better than their record. Now, I'm not trying to make excuses. You have to go there and win that game, but they've already beaten Ohio State at home. Now they've beaten Nebraska at home. I think they'll beat somebody else down the stretch they're probably, quote-unquote, not supposed to beat. Still, game you have to win, and a game that you really hope for Nebraska does not come back to haunt them in mid-March.
That's where we're going next. Rick Pizzo with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Network at BTN. Rick Pizzo is where you follow him on Twitter. Great work last night with the Nebraska-Rutgers coverage, and then the post-game with Rick Pizzo and John Crispin. With Nebraska now, and I think Andy Katz, who does great work for the Big Ten Network and the NCAA, he's kind of a crop report guy. You have Howie Schwab that's out there as well. And it varies, right? Week to week to week, it changes. You have Seth Davis. Nebraska's been as high as a 4 and a 5 seed. Nebraska's slid that first part of January to a 9 or an 11 seed going into last night. I think they were at an 8 seed. Is Nebraska now a bubble team because of last night?
They're really close. And I said that to John right when we started. I said, man, I think it is time after this loss for everyone to stop automatically assuming that Nebraska is not only in the tournament, but that they're not a play-in team, that they're a 9 or a 10 seed, that they're going to, you know, without question, no matter what happens down the stretch, they'll get in. They're not going to sweat out Selection Sunday. I'll tell you right now, the next 2 games at home become so ludicrously important, and they're always going to be important. You're playing Ohio State, you're at Wisconsin, you're at Pinnacle Bank Arena. I understand that. But now you've lost 2 in a row, including that game against Rutgers. If you don't sweep, and I'm not saying go 1-1 against these teams, I think if you don't sweep, you start to slide even further because there's that residual effect. Mm. You know, it's either, oh, that's 3 losses in a row, or if you beat Ohio State and lose to Wisconsin, it's, man, you're not able to keep any momentum. This is a team right now that needs to rely on that home cooking. I am concerned, and I'm concerned for several reasons. You know, number one being at the beginning of the year, I told you that this is a no-doubt team that could be a top 4 team, so I'm going to look pretty stupid if they end up fading and don't make the tournament, but it's inexplicable at this point for us to be having this conversation. There is no way that through 8 games, a team as talented, as experienced as this team should be 3-5 in the Big Ten, and there's no more simple way that I can put it.
Well, flip it around. I mean, you've had games won where you've been up. You've done the work on the road, and just to let it slip away. Yeah, I think that's fair, and the outrage is very real, and sometimes it's too knee-jerk, and sometimes it's personal, and sometimes it's unfair by the fan base, but they have every right to be ticked off about last night and how it went down. And there needs to be some coaching and some communication by the head man for Nebraska and these group of seniors that have seen a ton of basketball. They got to step up and want it. Show some heart and be tough. Be physically and mentally tough moving forward. And it's danger zone time right now. Rick, you got about a minute and a half here. I know you're a big football guy. Where were you Sunday for the NFC Championship? And I want to know the setting. And I want to know your reaction to the no call on the sideline with the Rams and Saints.
Well, the great thing is I was in the BTN studio doing our hockey coverage. So sitting there, you know, embraced by 8 giant screen televisions, which is the greatest thing in the world, and watching it with, you know, a group of people from the network, all of whom obviously are huge sports fans. And incredulous, I mean, it's a good word. There were not just 1, but 2 officials, right?
Yeah.
Right there for the call. I go back to Glenn Mason, former Minnesota coach who works with us as a BTN college football analyst. He said if there was one change he would make in football, it is that a coach gets the opportunity once a game to challenge a quote-unquote judgment call. And his reasoning was all about pass interference. And, man, did he sound prescient. when that happens. I mean, imagine if Sean Payton is able to throw the flag there and say, that's my challenge on a judgment call. I want pass interference reviewed right there. Game changes. Saints are probably in the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So I'm not sure what exactly has to happen, but yeah, a change has to be made because you can't be that bad at your job and literally cost people millions and millions of dollars and the opportunity to reach the pinnacle of their sport.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet at BT, and Rick Pizzo. Rick, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes today, man. Great chat.
Smitty, my pleasure as always, buddy. Take care.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
We're getting back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Good stuff from Rick Pizzo. Missed that interview or just caught part of it, it'll get posted for you on ESPN Lincoln, and also some of the audio highlights retweeted by Hail Varsity at ESPN. I want the full show, heading to the gym, going on the Iditarod outside. Take the podcast with HailVarsity.com or get to iTunes. A chance for you this hour to win another pair of tickets to the Food and Wine Expo from your friends at Russ's. That's going to be a pretty awesome night at the Embassy Suites on the 22nd of February. Food and wine. That sounds like a good party to me. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. Follow us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio, at @DannyBurke5, or at Hail Varsity. You can get an email, chris@hailvarsity.com. Let's talk a little more Nebraska basketball. And last night, listen, it's fair to say Indiana was a turning point. You felt good about it. And then that turn was the wrong way on a one-way street last night for Nebraska basketball. You've undone a lot of your good work, and here is Tim Miles post-game last night. And he just kind of laid out some of his frustrations with what went down last night. We'll let you sound off. Open phones till 6 right now on Nebraska basketball. And here is Tim Miles.
I think that when you look at our just general sloppiness, you know, I think we had probably 11 turnovers in the first 23 minutes of the game. And we're not a team that turns over a great deal. And we ended up cleaning up a little bit later, but just you look at the little things like where we missed layups early. There was a play at the end where we have the rebound, two guys have the rebound, and we drop it. And it goes back to Rutgers. And Rutgers play very hard. Coach Peichel does an excellent job. And they fight you, and they scrap, and they make plays. I just question our mindset, but I also credit Rutgers.
So that's fair. That is very fair to first and foremost give Rutgers some credit for winning, coming back from 13 down in their own gym, coming back from 8 down in their own gym. But it was sloppy, man. And you had, I think, a total of 12 turnovers, I think. Let me pull up the stats officially here. But, I mean, Nebraska got annihilated in the paint. They got beat on the boards. They got their bigs in foul trouble. Stop me if you've heard that before. You've lost 4 out of 6, and you're up at the 5-minute mark, right? And the mindset is very real. The sloppiness was there. You can't let Rutgers go Death Star tractor beam on you when it comes to their style of play. And that has to do with you playing at your best, you being a program that is veteran, you being a team that has difference makers on offense, and it comes down to fatigue. That isn't an excuse. It's a reality. And any of you who've got a car that's got 100,000 miles on it, you need routine maintenance and checkups. Otherwise, you're stuck in this garbage weather outside right now. You don't take care of it. Nebraska can't go to the mechanic, right? You're only 8 games in of your 20 conference games. So it's going to come down to adjustments from a coaching standpoint, and it's going to come down to maybe a little luck and for sure the right roster management of playing time and minutes. What can you get away with moving forward to get your guys rested? What can you get away with from a lineup standpoint? I love their starting five, but your starting five can't all be going 38 minutes, and they have been for the most part. Your bench has got to show up eventually. They need to get developed. They need to be told, like, play fast and play confident, but don't be stupid with your shot selection. And all of that needs to be heard and acted upon. Otherwise, you're watching the game, and that has happened. If guys make a defensive error, they get to watch. You've had moments where guys that don't have as much experience, they've been yanked and have been told to watch. And that rule needs to apply to your starting five as well. Roby and Cope getting enough foul trouble by themselves to get to watch. But even Glenn, in some instances last night, he got a couple of ticky-tacks. He didn't get into foul trouble, but he had a couple of ticky-tacks. Roby especially, you need to keep preaching to the guy, be aggressive, play fast, but please be under control, be mature with your role. Be aggressive, play fast, make the right play, not the big play. And that needs to be reinforced. And God forbid if you sit Roby and start Borchardt, maybe that's what you do. Maybe Roby's your energy guy off the bench because he's your most versatile guy. Just saying. The mindset, a topic of discussion, a point Coach Miles wanted to make, and it was his team's lack of mental sharpness and focus and maturity last night with a road opportunity. That is what just chaps the hide of Nebraska basketball fans. Is you just want to know what you got. And right now you're guessing. You're playing roulette right now with this basketball team. And part of the fear with it is you don't know when something this good and talented, because you've seen it, is going to come along again. You're living in the now, which is what you have to. And you don't like where you're living right now because of what happened last night. This team is so volatile, and you just want some normalcy and consistency. Here is that mindset discussion, comments from Coach Miles last night on BTN.
Yeah, early in the, you know, we go 10 for 18 on free throws. You know, free throws are mental toughness in my mind. You know, it's about it's a closed skill. It's about preparation. It's about a routine. Like anything else, it's not a competitive deal up there. You're just standing there. And so, you know, when guys that usually shoot better than that aren't making them, it says something about mindset to me. Missed layups. I mean, we missed easy layups. And it was a plethora of guys. Those things are mindset to me.
Yeah, you can't go 9-18 at the rim. And here's the other thing. I think Nebraska and Palmer struggled at the rim. Cope struggled at the rim. Guys have struggled at the rim. And I think they're a little bit buffaloed. Penn State, Michigan State, now Rutgers. Anytime you're playing giant humans at the rim, they're a little fearful of getting it shoved back down the throat. They are short-arming it. I mean, Roby had a play, man, on the baseline last night where he did a great job, got it in the short corner, dribbled baseline, and then went up and then just lost it. I mean, he did everything but finish the dunk, right? And he stopped and he hesitated. So I get the guy a couch and sit down and talk with him. And it's that fine line of aggressiveness and then playing smart basketball. Coach Miles on losing that first half lead.
One thing is we challenged our bench to, you know, come in and help us, and they made a couple defensive errors, and our bench, you know, didn't do a lot tonight. You'll get a bench points, and I thought that was a critical part of the game. Not that I expected to, be there, but to go 31-6, not good enough. Second of all, we turned it over. I mean, we just shot ourselves in the foot and allowed Rutgers, really, where we were in a good spot, maybe take control, you know, right back into the game.
We detailed that 15-0 run by Rutgers. It was not good enough coaching last night. It was not good enough execution last night. And it was very poor leadership last night from the players and the coaches. And you've seen this. This is no longer happenstance. It is a trend. It is kind of their identity on the road. And they won a boatload of road games against teams worse than Rutgers last year when they couldn't lose a road game. There was zero margin for error. Back to Miles' comments, and I think he said this to the World Herald, the Journal Star, and I think the folks over at Rivals, they reported it from the Husker Network, his postgame, about what his guys were like in the pregame, laughing and joking and talking. It's one thing to be loose. It's another thing to be overconfident. And I was kind of worried the other way. Like, they'd just be down emotionally from losing to Michigan State. And the whole talk and topic was, don't let them beat you twice. Well, you didn't, because you came out and clearly had a lead. You just got to finish the job, man. And at this point, this team has blown enough leads on the road. They got to be sick and tired of being sick and tired and not finishing the job. And either they get too lackadaisical or casual, or they just don't have that killer instinct. What do they want? Are they just waiting to go to the next level, or do they want to accomplish and achieve something here? Are they back because you can go to Europe and play ball, but the NBA ain't going to take you? I mean, what's their goal here? Do they come back to be that team that wins the tournament game? I mean, Miles already has a squad that is kind of remembered negatively in the 2014 and 15 squad that was highly favored, had a lot of hype, finished over 500, but did not return to the NCAA. This team would trump that team as the biggest underachieving crew at Nebraska. You can put it up there with the 96 NIT team, right? I mean, you've had some heartbreak. Last thought from Miles on the second half, and we'll get into some NFL next segment. Can take your calls here, 466-377-6800. 825-5865. We'll hear from Coach Miles next segment. I am out of time. Will Bauer gave me the old throat slash. He's learning. We'll get to some emails as well. Send us a tweet. Give us a follow at Danny Burke 5 at Schmidt _ radio. I follow Will Bauer on Twitter, but I need to refresh myself with that. We'll continue on.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Careful out there if you're roaming around. Icy, snowy, winter storm weather. I don't know how bad it is in central and western Nebraska or northeast Nebraska with our friends up in Columbus, but, well, I just saw a polar bear give me the middle finger outside. It isn't good. Reminder about Sauter Heyman. Every girl dreams of that one-carat diamond. Now it's Sauter Heyman. Rick and the gang offering a spectacular one-carat diamond solitaire, just $100 a month. That's less than the price of a cup of coffee per day to show her how much you care and see how much she means to you. Think about that. Maybe it's her very first ring or time to upgrade for Mama. Can do so with Sauter Heyman. $100 a month, a one-carat diamond solitaire. One carat. Think about that. She would smile and love you forever. 12th and O downtown, like in South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. That's how I keep Mama happy. Bribery. And many deserve it. And I will just venture in to say mine does too. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 466-377-6800-825-5865. More thoughts here, some emails to get to on Nebraska and this basketball program. Before we talk the saga that is Philadelphia Eagles football, Carson Wentz, Nick Foles. Last thought from Tim Miles here we were going to get to on the second half and what happened. You build a 13-point lead. It got whittled away. You were down two. And then you build up an 8-point lead in the second half. And you know how things worked out. Rutgers outscored you by 20. 58-38. Not a good thing. More from Miles.
Same thing happened in the second half. I think we went up 8. I believe Gio hits a really tough 3 in the corner at the end of the shot clock. Glenn's right there on him. And then we come down and just throw it right back to him. And he runs down and shoots a layup on a careless turnover. And now all of a sudden, you know, all the good work you've done for the first 6 possessions is gone. I think we turned it over the following possession, too. So it's just those things. Like I just didn't think we were able to build on anything. I think we missed 3 or 4 one-on-ones. So every time we had a chance to build on a lead, we didn't.
No, you didn't. And this team's just got to be smarter. This team needs some breaks, as in, you know, maybe 33 minutes a game, not 38. And my prediction is this. Nebraska's season is not over. They will pull you back onto the bandwagon with a shocking win this year. They may very well regroup. They have to beat Ohio State. If they lose against Ohio State, then this thing is in a death spiral.
You know, they have a chance of going a 4-game winning streak coming up here.
Mm-hmm. And think about that 4-game winning streak. I mean, this team's like reversed. They should be 5-3 in the league. They should. I'm sick of saying that. But no, they will hang around, and they may well get to the tournament. But right now, if I'm crop reporting, they are outside looking in.
Yeah.
They're a Final Four team out based on that Rutgers loss, because find me comparable teams with their non-con, can't do it, that have lost, that have a bad loss like this. You can't do it. Nebraska's just a team that is going to make committee members scratch their head. They can have one, and if they follow up one with a second on the road, then they're going to have to go take down Sparty or Michigan on the road. They got Maryland coming to town too here, not too far away.
And it very well might come down to the Big Ten tournament at the end of the year once again, where you can't get blown out by Michigan in that first round. I mean, if Nebraska stays on this path, they might have to make a very deep run in that, because they're definitely, I think they're a bubble team right now, if I'm being completely honest. Harsh on them, but it's because you know how much potential they have.
They're a bubble team that should have 3 more quad one wins,
yeah,
all of which are on the road.
Exactly. So Nebraska just, they need to regroup. Tim's got to finally just sit these guys down and say, who's stepping up here? I mean, Tim's got to step up, obviously, but a player's got to step up, and they're going to be like, do we really want this or not? This is why we all came back here. I'm talking as if I'm one of the players. This is why we all came back here, was to get to the tournament and win a game, something that hasn't been done here. So, you know, someone's got to step up, and someone's got to get some big cojones
In true Nebraska basketball fashion, the arguably most frustrating team in Nebraska basketball history could be the team that wins the first game and makes history at Nebraska basketball. Mm-hmm. That's just what they are. That would be absolutely par for the course with this squad. They roll in 22-10 or whatever, right?
Right.
And they win. They probably just don't win, but they take down. Watch them pull off an 11 seed, and they work a 6 seed because it's a favorable matchup that has no passion or strength inside.
And they'll get your hopes up right again.
Yeah. God. Let's talk Philadelphia, and I'm not a fan of Philadelphia. I'm not a fan of the Eagles nor the sports city. I think Philly's a real tough place to cheer for. I do like Carson Wentz. I like the type of dude he is. And you've got a report here from the Philly Voice. 6 different sources, anonymous sources, describing the quarterback as selfish, as uncompromising, as egotistical. So is this a thing? Is this a divided locker room that is Team Wentz or Team Foles? Now, Wentz has been great pre-knee injury. He battled to get back. He was sluggish and had issues. The team caught fire and went to the postseason with Foles. Foles has proven it on the field. And I don't know why he isn't your, I know why he's not your starter, because Wentz has got a lot of money and he's the front office's golden child. I mean, that's who they went after. That's who they got. Chip Kelly, the guy you blew out, is the one who went and got Foles. Okay? So the complaint is that Wentz is playing favorites and failing to take accountability when it comes to play calling, when it comes to what's being called or what's being audibled. You've had Zach Ertz, Fletcher Cox, Lane Johnson call the news, hashtag fake news, in a report. You've had six, right? So who is it? Is it Alshon Jeffries?
Is it Foles?
I don't think Foles
that'd
would
be funny.
I don't think so. I think it's definitely not him.
He's too good of a guy.
Foles and Wentz, I think, are guys that want the job, but are very supportive and pretty high character stand up guys where game respects game.
100%.
And so it's not a quarterback. Stab session.
I like that. It could be Jeffrey, though.
Well, yeah. Because Jeffries has kind of emerged big time with Foles. I mean, that's when Jeffries has been at his best. And I mean, they're unnamed sources. But is it wideouts? And I go to the wideout position because wideouts are divas. And they're going to whine. And they're going to whine and cause problems. Not all, but some. So, is this a thing? You're going to have to move one of these guys. And if I'm Philly, Foles has been healthy. Foles has won me a championship. Foles has got me to the playoffs. I would send Wentz. And the thing is you have Foles that's older. I mean, Foles is 32 now. He's been in the league since 2010. I'd move Wentz. That sounds crazy.
They're not going to, though.
No, I know. And it's because it's a suit admitting that there's a better option that wasn't his. Something to mull over. Is this going to become a real issue moving forward? We'll wind down a Tuesday next Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
One final time on your Tuesday, it's Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Dandy Burke, Will Bauer, a reminder, especially with the weather as grody outside as it is now, you got to buckle up. What's going to stop that motion in an accident? The airbags, sometimes they're not enough. It's seatbelts that prevent excessive injury when your vehicle and your body need to slow down in a hurry. That applies to whether you're in the driver's seat, the passenger seat, or the back seat. Buckle up now. Click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. Michigan State dismantled Maryland last night. Sparty's looking tough. Big Ten docket is what tonight?
I am currently trying to get that on my phone.
Is your Wi-Fi in this room as bad as my Wi-Fi in this room?
Yes, it is. Bad, if not worse. Okay, let's see. We got Minnesota at Michigan. Michigan a 12.5-point favorite. Minnesota, low-key 14-4.
Minnesota just survived Penn State, the dirty look-ahead game to Michigan. I don't think Michigan drops consecutive games.
Mm-mm.
I don't think Michigan covers either, though, because Minnesota is going to do everything in their power to make it hockey instead of basketball. So give me Michigan. They'll get back on track offensively. They're held to 52 points against Wisconsin. Give me Sparty. That's evil. It's blasphemy. Give me Michigan 65-58 over the Gophers.
Ooh, okay. I think this is going to be kind of a wake-up call for the Gophers, and I kind of just want to go against you a little bit.
You're saying A-kicking.
Yeah, well, I think they'll barely cover, like, by 13 or 14. I know it's Big Ten play, but I think Michigan's going to, they're not going to get consecutive loss. And like I said, Minnesota's a young team, so Michigan's just going to let them have it. So give me Michigan 78-64.
Okay.
I got another good game for you, though, too. Villanova at Butler. And then I got another one, too, really quick. Texas Tech at Kansas State.
Those are money.
1.5 spread. Butler is in favor. 18-ranked Villanova on the road. And then Texas Tech, 14th-ranked on the road at Kansas State, who is a 2.5-point favorite.
What's K-State's record right now? Because, I mean, they're going to...
14-4.
Okay, K-State's crawling back.
Mm-hmm.
Texas Tech just lost, didn't they?
Yeah, they've been they've lost a couple now.
Right, I mean, well,
they're
15-3.
They've
had...
They just lost to Baylor, and they lost to Iowa State. So
Iowa State barely lost to Kansas last night, 80-76. You know what? I think Tech finds a way. I like Tech's coach a lot. That guy's awesome.
I'll take Kansas State.
All right.
They've been playing nice at home. I think a lot of people are taking them, too. So I'll take Kansas State, and I'll also take Butler at home. Butler's just one of those teams that, no matter who it is, they're going to play dominant at home.
All right.
Villanova's obviously not the same team, but...
Do we need to give away another Food and Wine Expo?
Yeah, we could do that.
All right, let's do that. So caller 8 right now, pair of tickets to the Russ's Food and Wine Expo. That is going to be February 22nd. Caller 8 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776. 1-800-825-5865. Caller 8, and you'll get a pair of tickets to the it's in the Embassy Suites, 5-8 Friday the 22nd of February. It's food, it's wine, it's lovely people, and I think it's $50 a ticket, to be honest with you. So we love you. Get a pair of tickets, caller 8, and we'll be back at you tomorrow at 4. We'll get caught up with Dr. Petey. And excited about that. Be safe tonight.